And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial. We're here for Envision Financial through until 4 o'clock this afternoon, of course. 5 o'clock, I should say. And, gee, you've had a week, haven't you?
Well, yeah. Look, I haven't been directly exposed to it. My in-laws have a farm right outside Churros Heads, and, you know, I can't stress enough how grateful we are that the rural fire service down there. We spent New Year's Eve with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old sleeping on a basketball court, which was a unique experience for me. They were absolutely top shelf.
I know that you like sleeping under the stars, providing there's 5 of them.
Correct, exactly. Yes. Right. Exactly. Yes. Right. But they were, you couldn't ask for a group of people to come together and have 300 or 400 people sleeping in a basketball stadium to provide what they provided in the manner in which they did it. Mate,
yeah, it's
unreal.
It's mind-bending. But also the people we spoke to, we couldn't get through to you, of course. We were trying to get through to you at one stage, but obviously the communications were down.
Yep.
Some communications were down. It's funny how we got through to others. But
yeah, you know, we were just outside on a farm, so we lost sort of all internet, all phone. And
yeah, but the mood down there, okay, it was somber, but it was pretty relaxed. There was nobody panicking.
Correct.
And which would seem to indicate that the leaders there, the people who were leading the whole thing, were doing a damn good job because they were keeping everybody calm.
Yep.
And what about getting out?
Look, that was quite interesting. At one stage there, when we tried to leave on New Year's Day, they'd said, look, if you can get out, get out. The only problem with that was we had no phone, no internet, no electricity in the entire place, which meant there was no petrol. And the police had come out and said, if you don't have a full tank of juice, don't risk taking the detours and going over the Brown Mountain. So, you know, for the grace of God, it could have got really dire.
So you got your petrol from a tractor or something?
Yeah, look, Andrew Bishop has a farm just down the road from my in-laws, and he's good mates with my brother-in-law, and he actually let us siphon diesel out of a dozer. Otherwise, we'd have never got out of there.
Thank God you got a diesel car.
Yes, yeah, you'd be hashtag buy diesel. a lot easier to get out of farm equipment than petrol. So, yeah, if you've got any questions about diesel, have a think about it, because in times of an emergency, it saves your bacon.
So, but with my luck, I'd be in a place where the only thing you get would be petrol.
Well, it was
Murphy's Law.
It was one of those weeks where if you had one side of something, you didn't have the other.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, he saved our bacon.
How long did it take you to get back? Because I believe the traffic was horrendous coming up Brown Mountain.
We were quite lucky because when that message came out in the area, I think everybody jumped in cars and left. So because there was an inability to get fuel and people were lining up, we left sort of late afternoon and actually had a dream run. I'd actually said to my wife, if we could get home before midnight, we left about 4 o'clock, if we could get home before midnight, great result. And we were here sort of 8:30, 8:45. Because I think we'd missed that huge influx because we'd seen things.
After that, I think it all went to hell in the handbasket as far as getting through quickly is concerned.
Yeah. So I had some friends of mine leave at 11 o'clock the day before yesterday and got in at sort of 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. But the biggest problem was the fog. Or the smoke.
Smoke haze, yeah.
Once you got over the Brown Mountain, you couldn't see 50 metres in front of you driving down the road just outside Cooma. Actually going up the mountain and leaving the coast, it was really clear.
Yeah.
And then you got to the top of Brown Mountain and the smoke had just sort of sat in and it was shocking.
So down to about 30 kilometres an hour.
Yeah, it was.
Places.
Well, you couldn't overtake. It was hard to read the number plate in the car in front of you. It was that thick. And it was just coming to sort of night time, so 7:30, 8 o'clock, we run out a bit of light. It was sort of compounding things and, not something that I fancy going through again.
Well, it's good to see you back safe and sound, buddy. And I guess we better get down to business, otherwise we'll be talking. The bushfire report will be brought to you by Envision Financial.
Yes, well, exactly right, yes.
But this week we're looking at income protection. What have I got and what to consider when reviewing the policy?
Yeah, look, I think quite topical. I think if this isn't a wake-up call for people out there to make sure that they have the appropriate insurances, this is just one form of insurance that protects probably your greatest asset in your ability to work and earn and fund life as you know it. Obviously, you can insure farms and houses and cars and other things, but ultimately you pay a lot of those premiums your school fees and everything else with what you earn. And I think, you know, it's really quite topical because I think there's a lot of people panicking about the wording of policies on the property side of things. And I think into the new year, probably a good time to just sit down, take stock, and we'll talk through some of the key things that they can consider to make sure what they've got is right and obviously the costs and charges are appropriate going forwards.
Okay, so what are some of the key elements of an income protection policy that people should review?
Yeah, perfect. So some of the things that impact the premium or the cost are obviously what you do as an occupation. So depending on what your job is, income protection will be priced according to how you do your job on a daily basis. So the premium for a bricklayer would be very different to that of a vet or that of somebody sitting in a desk or that of someone who's a fighter pilot, et cetera, et cetera. So what you do will impact the premium. Obviously, the waiting period. So when you take a policy out, under the terms of the policy, they say, okay, when would you like to start getting paid? And that's called the waiting period. Now, you can generally choose 2 weeks, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. You know, you can go to 6 months. You can even go out to 2 years. Now, there's positives and negatives of all of those different options, but it's something to think about because what I find most is people take a policy out and they may have had young kids and a big mortgage and 10, 15 years down the road, they may have that same contract with the same definitions and structure as they did 15 years ago when their situation may have changed. Kids have grown up, houses paid off, jobs changed. So you want to make sure that your things stay relevant so that you're not paying more than you need to. And obviously at the time of claim, this is one of the few things in life where the devil really is in the detail. And it's important that you understand what you have. The other thing I'd think about as well is the benefit period. Now, the benefit period is how long you want to be paid if for any reason you can't perform your occupation. So you can have a 2-year benefit, you can have a 5-year benefit, you could have a 6-year benefit, you could have something to age 60, to age 65, and now with the development of contracts, some even go out to age 70 because people are working a little bit longer and they may remain in gainful employment for a longer duration over their working life. So thinking about how long you need that cover is very, very important because it's another direct impact on the premium and what you pay.
Okay, we'll take a break with the time at 4:44, coming up to 60 minutes to 5, and we might come back and talk about a little bit more in detail about some of those strategies that people can use. We're here with Luke Smith from Financial Envision Financial, our Friday afternoon segment, and by the grace of God, he is back, and by the grace of the RFS, by the sounds of it, and diesel out of a tractor. We're talking about income protection. What have you got? What do you consider when you're reviewing your policy? Well, what about impacts? What impacts the premium for those looking to get their costs down?
Yeah, so before the break, we touched on a couple of key things, which obviously was the waiting period, which is when you want to start getting paid. Now, the longer the waiting period, the cheaper the premium. So that's something that people should look for straight away because as we touched on before the break, situations change and you may be able to go 90 days and there's a significant difference in cost between 30 days and 90 days, for example.
Right.
So again, make sure that you have money in an offset account, you have accumulated leave with your employer, things like that will help to push the waiting period out so that you know that you have guaranteed income for 2 or 3 or 4 months. So that nothing's going to make a material impact on how you can fund lifestyle. Obviously, the benefit period, how long are you planning on working and when would you like to be paid until? So checking that's very important. And obviously, has your job changed? So if you took your policy out and you were doing a more manual type of work and then you've since had a career change and you've moved into an admin-based role, there will be or could be a significant difference in the premium because of the change of occupation. So check that to make sure that it's relevant. Obviously, the more manual your type of work, generally the more expensive the cover because of the nature of the added risks. And then also consider the structure of the policy. Now, there are two ways that a policy can be structured. One is an agreed value policy that says, I've proved my level of income at the time of application, okay, and you lock in your benefit. Now, that's very good for people that are self-employed, for contractors, or people whose income can change significantly from year to year. For people that are on wages, or you're a salaried employee, say, with the government, then where your income doesn't fluctuate to a great extent, an indemnity policy is better or more cost-effective because what it says with that that contract definition is, what did I earn in the 12 months, 2 years, or 3 years prior to claim? Now, if your income's not bouncing around, you'd always be able to prove the amount of cover that you have, and it's generally 20 to 25% cheaper than agreed value policy. So have a look at that. It's not something that we see a lot of people come in and understand is available. And obviously, for younger people, consider a level premium contract. Now, a level premium contract treats you at the age you are when you take it out, right through to the end of the contract, generally at age 65. So if you're younger and you want to lock in and limit the increase in cost, a level premium is something to consider, because you're taking a long-term agreement, because you're probably going to work for the next 20 or 30 years, so you will need some cover. It's something to think about in relation to where I'm going to be 5, 10, 15 years from now, and have the comfort of knowing that the premium will not change significantly, because I'll always be treated as a 23, 24, 25, 28-year-old, even when I'm 50 years of age. Because obviously, the older you get, the more expensive the cover, because the potential risk is increasing over time. So there's some of the key things that I think people should review on their policies. We're more than happy to do it and do it regularly for people at no cost. So if you've got a contract and you're not sure if you're paying something that's appropriate for you, or you've had an occupation change or your situation's changed, bring it in. We can check it out. We can run it in the open market. We can use anybody that's available. We don't have an affiliation to any one provider, so we can compare the market openly. And make sure that if what you have is very, very good, you can maintain it. And if we can find something that's cheaper and just as good, or improve your contract, then obviously you're getting put into something that's going to make sure you're in a better position. So they're the four or five things that I'd be looking at on your policy statements leading into the new calendar year, to make sure that you're not paying overs, because a premium saving is a premium saving. And no one's ever come in and said, I'd really like to pay more.
No, it would be unusual.
Nobody's ever walked in and said, I'd also like a better definition of cardiomyopathy, please. People generally come in and say, I need this. It's a necessary evil. They don't necessarily like paying it, because most people don't like paying insurance. Let's be completely honest about it. And they just want to know that they've got good cover with good definitions at an appropriate price that's fair and reasonable. So there's some key things I'll be looking at to try and get it done.
Okay. Well, what about if you sort of say, here's one, two, three, what would some of the top three things to check on your policy?
Yep. So top three things I'll be looking at is obviously the benefit period, the waiting period, and then obviously seeing if an indemnity or an agreed value policy would be appropriate for what you do and what your training and education is, because they're the three things that will have the greatest impact on making sure that everything's cost effective and you have an appropriate structure and definition. And if we had to sneak a fourth one in there, you could consider super linking your cover, which is holding part of it inside of super and holding part of it outside of super, to try and limit the cash flow cost to you personally, where you may not have the ability to pay the premium. You can put some of that cost into super and then break it up so that you've still got the best definitions available, but you're not paying for all of it out of your personal income. So that's a little fourth one to think about, which is getting a lot more momentum in the market when people try and sort of pay off houses and limit the amount of debt they have. It's a good little strategy to consider whilst making sure that you're not losing benefits and inclusions, because a contract in your own name is very, very different to a contract in superannuation, because a superannuation contract is generally far inferior to one in your own name.
Mm.
So that's just something to think about. People can't look at it and say, oh, I have that in super, when a policy in their own name would give them a huge number of additional benefits that they could make very good money from, or be paid significant amounts of money for a range of different issues that wouldn't be offered through a superannuation fund, because of the law and because of the way that super funds structure their contracts. So just be mindful that, obviously, you know, all cognac is brandy, not all brandy is cognac.
Yeah, fair enough.
For use of a better analogy.
That's a pretty good one. I'll go with that. I'll go with that any day of the week. Now, I'm just thinking, you know, the weeks that I've been working with you, you make perfect sense, but when you you know, when you, you come to it, it sounds like you've, for anybody who's in that position that you're talking about, they may have to do a little bit of homework to be able to manage their own affairs that way. How complex really is it?
Look, income protection can be quite complicated because there are a number of variables that can have a direct impact on your policy. The other thing I would stress is obviously get cover while you're healthy. Because if you do have back issues or you do have really high cholesterol or you have a family history of diabetes, all of these things can have impacts on your policy and your ability to get new cover. So obviously we talk about these things in relation to the key elements that impact price, but we also need to remember that there's an underwriting process that we need to go through. And depending on what you're bringing to the table medically, you may or may not be able to get cover depending on your family history or your medical history yourself. So it's really something that to go on and compare something online is a little bit blind unless you've done some really thorough research, because we've touched on four or five different variables today, but then there's a plethora of definitions and assessments. Obviously at claim time, you want a policy that gives you the best possible medical definitions, and they can be very, very different depending on the age, the provider, and obviously what you do.
Okay, where do people get more information? Ask at this time.
Yeah, that's right. So, look, I think if people want to come in and just bring a policy statement in, obviously we can review what they have and make sure that it's appropriate given their current situation and needs. So 02-6260-4749. Obviously, we have the website, envisionfinancial.com.au. You can go on to the resource centre there. That's free. You can join that. And there's all sorts of information in there. We've got the podcast on iTunes, you know, the Strategy Stack and Luke Talks Money. And we've also got the show on YouTube so that you can pause it and have your key takeouts and make a list of things you need to go and review and then play forward from there.
Okay. Just finally, where are you going for your next holiday?
Oh, mate, I think I agree with the lads. We're going to sidestep Maria and I think maybe just go straight to Hawaii.
So Hawaii in summer, Maria in winter. Is that how it works?
I'm going to take 50,000 litres of water with me as well.
Good on you, Luke.
Awesome.
Luke Spence from Envision Financial, and you'll be back with Leon next week.
Yep.